football on off the ball.
So that's also not healthy. It's great for the Premier League, but it's probably bad for the rest of the world.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
Once again, Friday night seems an awfully long time ago when the women's team played against Turkey. And once again, it was very unconvincing here. The back page of the Irish Independent and that Ireland play Slovenia tonight in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. They know that a 4-0 winner to beat Slovenia by 4 goals means promotion to Group A, which is actually huge in the Nations League, because that guarantees you at least the playoff for the World Cup in 2 years' time. But Ireland are not scoring goals and they can't keep goals out, so that seems extremely unlikely. We have Cathy McNamee down there actually for Off the Ball as well, covering that game in Cork. Katie McCabe as well to skip Ireland friendlies in the US as she's in need of a proper rest. Elsewhere then, I mentioned the Getting Football there at the top. It was absolutely mad weekend, really. Like Dublin with 17 or 18 wides, depending on who you're reading here. Colm Keyes says 18. Also, three shots dropping short. Armagh look very good. They're through to the quarterfinals. Carrier through to at least the preliminary, beating Cork. A very competitive Cork, I might say there. It's a pretty decent game down in Páirc Uí Chaoimh. And then Derry and Galway playing out a cracking draw, actually. But Newry are having to host Dubs' crucial showdown with Derry, so Croke Park won't be in use, don't think, anyway, for these final round of games in 2 weeks' time. You think that's good, yeah? I think Croke Park should be a bit more sacred than it actually is.
I'm not sure about that bit, but I do think the joy of getting games out and about around the country to the provincial grounds, you know, particularly that neutral aspect of things, ideally keep them somewhat close to, you know, depending on the geography of the teams, but there's nothing like it. Like, players talk about it 20 years later about X game that was in Port Leash, or, you know, some of these Mullingar, I'll throw in any of these like outposts of, you know, that wouldn't be amongst the elite, you know, that we only spend our time talking about.
Should be more sacred. We shouldn't see Croke Park as much as we do every year. I'd say a handful of times would be sufficient to make it so special. But I agree with you in the sentiment that there should be no game here in the final round of games.
Yeah. Get them out and about, like.
Yeah. Show off the other stadium. Speaking of stadia, Leinster set for Croke Park if they reach the URC final. When's the last time Leinster played outside of Dublin?
In any
game.
I straight away sort of disregarded the any possibility that they played in. What do you mean? What's your question?
When's the last
What's your
time,
question, caller?
When's the last time Leinster played away?
In a knockout game.
In any game.
Do you know the answer?
Yeah.
Well, like, they would have had an away fixture in regulation games in the URC.
Yeah.
So probably
that was
a couple of weeks ago.
It was Leinster haven't played away from home since the last weekend in April. And scarred it. So that was their fourth game. That was their fourth game in a row at the Aviva Stadium on Saturday against Scarlets. And it was, you know, it wasn't the best performance, but they got the job done. There was a few decent tries. They also conceded a few sketchy tries. But what everyone's really talking about here, we actually have a video of Leo Cullen lined up afterwards, but it is the attendance figures. It was on the small side for sure. What are we talking about, 15,000 or so?
It was 12.5,
yeah. He's even overshot it. As the Leinster representative in the room, what
I'm
you have to say for yourself?
Of Leinster, but I'm happy to give you an opinion on it. I think that you know, Leo Cullen, and he was sort of more animated than he typically tends to be. Like, we're sort of making the point that we ask an awful lot of fans, which is kind of a euphemism for the fact that, like, there's an awful lot of games to go to as a Leinster supporter. So it's legitimately hard to make a case to get to every single game. And, like, you can't say that a lot of people thought there was, I know it didn't exactly pan out this way, but there wasn't a lot of people thinking that there was a whole pile of jeopardy with playing Scarlets, as in most people would have expected Leinster to win that. I don't know what the spread was, but I'm sure that it was reflected within that. So I'd say that's what it is. Like, it's a bit like the Kerry lads, sorry, we'll wait until the final. There is a bit of that. And you kind of do understand it a small bit. Having said that, 12,500 is very low. Like, you see the players walking out, running out into the pitch. God, it must have an impact on them. But Leo Cullen went full Let's Be Avenue, didn't he, afterwards?
Yeah, well, that's what we're going to play here, like, because the crack seems to be gone out of Leinster season.
Do you think that's fair enough, by the way, that that's just the lack of jeopardy?
I don't think so, because there wasn't huge, I don't know the numbers, there wasn't huge crowds at the, was it Glasgow they played in the Champions Cup quarterfinal? That was pretty empty, relatively speaking, for the
and
magnitude
they
of the game.
If I'm
yeah, they hammered them.
Yeah.
But it's, people didn't know that going, I suppose.
No.
But
No, and it's, I'm not saying you could have expected
it. It's a big old drop. Like, it's for a team that's almost nailed on to win every game.
Well, isn't that part of the problem? That's what I'm saying about,
I guess,
the lack of jeopardy.
Hey, look, Leinster aren't on their own here. Like, Carlo Ward's had to defend the tickets purchased so far for Parky Quay. It was 10,000, tonight it was 18,000 against France. There's a lot of sport on. Like, even Gaelic football, there's waxing lyrical at the start of the show about it, but like, there's an awful lot of games for fans to go to as well in Gaelic football. There's a load happening at the moment, but there is definitely an enjoyment from people outside of Leinster looking at that attendance figure, being like, ah, yeah, sure, it's gone for them, isn't it? And like, sure. And when the crack is gone, when the European Cup isn't up for grabs, they don't want to know. They don't want to know.
You're talking
about
Munster people, particularly, and not all Munster people, but
some
a cohort.
People live in Munster,
a
yeah.
cohort. Some people live in Munster, yeah. that's just to do with, like, well, we've nothing to, you know, grab onto ourselves here. So, like, the enjoyment in watching Leinster's downfall will have to do.
We hear about from Leo Cullen.
Do you disagree with that?
Yeah, definitely.
Like,
yeah.
You know, you'd nearly say Munster winning something for Munster, for that cohort of Munster fans, Munster winning something is up here and Leinster losing something is not a million miles behind it.
Listen, Leo Cullen's bursting here. He's absolutely bursting the chat yet, right?
You're
this
not having that.
This is a very slightly, I would say, different type of Leo Cullen that we've seen before. This is after the win on Saturday.
You know, we're into as June rugby season goes on, Johnny. Into June, it's great. Great to still be in the competition. Like, big thing is, like, you know, for us, support, like, get genuine excitement. Do you know what I mean? Like, it shouldn't be a drudge. It should be like, this is amazing. We're in a semi final. You know, we're getting ready. We're playing the current reigning champions. So we know it's going to be hard. What did they do last year? They won a home quarter final. They came away where? To Ireland, Munster, to win a away semi-final before they went to South Africa to win an away final. So, you know, if you're putting yourself in Glasgow shoes, what are they like? They're relishing the opportunity to come here. But we need to be relishing the opportunity of playing in front of our home fans. This time last year, we had people scrambling around the dressing rooms trying to book flights to South Africa, not knowing exactly. So literally, I'm sitting here in the press conference, not knowing exactly how we're getting to South Africa. So this year we know we haven't decided, or it hasn't been decided exactly what time. It's on Saturday. Please turn out in force. We would love to see you here in June and get excited about cheering on the team and all the rest, because, you know, the fans, they feed off that energy.
Why do you think we're seeing that version of Leo Cullen?
I'm angry, Tony. I'd say is probably what it's about. Like, I'd say it's a bit of frustration to do with how the game went. And obviously, like, it's very dispiriting for people to look in that kind of attendance. You don't often see it from him. And I'd say it'd be one of the criticisms of Leo Cullen that we possibly could see a little bit more of that side of him. Like, he tends to be unbelievably measured no matter what's happened in a match, win, lose or draw. So there's a bit of let's be having you, isn't there?
Yeah.
Like, Delia Smith.
Do you think it'll work, though?
Well, I see somebody making the comment here, Flying Hellfish, saying that Glasgow, they're playing for the third time in short succession, might have gone if it was a South African team coming to town. Like, it'll definitely get a few extra bums and seats. As to what number that'll be, we'll have to see. But like, it is thin air now. I do think that it isn't going to be 12,500 again. I don't know exactly what the number might be, but like, they'll have a job to do over the next few days to try and get people out there.
Do you think that will have an effect on?
Ah, yeah, I do think. I do think that's the thing that makes a lot of Leinster people go, ah, okay.
What do you put the apathy down to?
Expectation to beat teams, and there'll be another day out, basically.
How many people are at the Northampton
game? It's also a bank holiday weekend. Probably an awful lot of people away. There was, and I know I understand the responses before I say it at all, there was a dart, a planned dart closure that had been flagged up as
they didn't postpone the match.
Possibility that, well, it was you know, on the weekend of the Women's Mini Marathon.
Yeah.
Decision to begin with. But anyway, so I'd say there's a few factors, but I'd say primarily people expected Leinster to win and there to be another day out back at the same venue, and that's probably what it's all to do with, I would think.
As I say, if they beat...
And I'd say there's a bit of a fall-off. Sorry, Cullum. I'd say there's a bit of a fall-off, too, from a bit of a depression all round, even from a playing point of view, when you look at what happened against Scarlets the weekend from Europe.
That's what he's doing, I think. I think it's to the players. This should matter.
Mm. I don't know.
It's Jordy Barrett's time at Leinster... is it being a success contingent on them winning the URC?
He's never been one to...
It's already been a failure.
Yeah, like not from his point of view. And maybe there'll be long-term benefits from his being there. But the short-term goal of him being there hasn't been fulfilled. They've receded from last year's thing, you know, so that's kind of...
Yeah, well, I think if you know, bringing him up to win the European Cup was the only arbiter of success, then that's what it is. But Leo Cullen, by the way, has never been one to speak to the players via the media, so I don't agree with that.
You don't have that?
I think it is a, let's help out the marketing department here and... We need people to be here. And I get it like it. I think that it actually will resonate with a lot of Leinster people.
You know, as I was saying, the usage of Croke Park seems to be confirmed if they do actually reach that final. They beat Glasgow at the Aviva. Mm. And the reason for that is they finished top of the groups, or top of the league, of course, so they get that advantage. And they pick Croke Park at the start of the season, anticipating there would be a game at the Aviva around the same time. We're trying to figure out pre-show what that game would be, actually, because Ireland, they're playing. The men's team are playing Senegal and Luxembourg. And after that, I'm not really sure what game would be at the Aviva. But anyway, they're going to Croke Park. So south to north, up is the furthest they're travelling.
Well, I'd say if you could change it. Like, you know, I think that at a time where there was obviously... Do you remember, wasn't the Leinster Munster game that was at Croke Park?
Yeah, I was at it.
Yeah. And yeah, I was at that too. And it was... was it a sellout? Close.
It was close.
Yeah.
There was a lot of people there. The atmosphere wasn't good. There was a lot of people there though.
At that time, you're thinking, this, you know, they can sell out wherever they want.
Yeah. Well, that was even more recent they made that decision, but...
funnily enough, the closest thing at the Aviva to that game is the Lions, Argentina.
And how many days?
That's the 20th. I think the URC final is the 14th, I'm seeing here.
Oh, it's hardly that then.
There's nothing else up before or after.
Let us know if you know.
On the 6th. Anyway.
Okay. 087-9180-180 WhatsApp us or on YouTube. Just type in Off the Ball and you'll see that we're live. No ads. Click on it and you'll see the three of us chatting away. Just before we move on to the performance rankings, the back of Sun Sport this morning. We'll definitely chat with Vinny about this and ourselves maybe in the performance rankings. Deadly buzz. Jake O'Brien backs Bee's move for Kelleher. So this is the news over the long weekend that Queevey and Kelleher should in all likelihood be moving to Brentford for around €16 million, three of which his old club Ringmahon Rangers should be getting in Cork. Played there a few times. Their pitch was always immaculate. Yeah. Always unbelievable. Oh, really? A nice little clubhouse too. So €3 million is the most that an Irish club will have received for a transfer. Gavin Bazuna, funnily enough, another goalkeeper. They got, I think Shamrock Rovers got €2.2 million for that. And Bowes got about €1.8 for Matt Doherty.
It's getting better.
Much better, €3 million.
Yeah.
It's absolutely game changing for hopefully not just Ringmahon, but Cork football.
Do you play, football. Anybody play FC25?
No.
Do you know what? So when you do a deal, as the negotiations go on, you could go in and go, you know, I'm going to pay €40 million for this player and you can have a sell on clause. It just feels like. The League of Ireland obviously are getting their act together when it comes to like clicking +++ on the.
But that's interesting. The thing isn't even League of Ireland. Like, and that, that transfer, I don't know when that transfer would have been done. Like, he's at Liverpool a long time, isn't he?
Yeah, it was an amazing.
So just it precedes that, like.
Foresight, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because it was 20% sell on clause when they got rid of him. And like, the guy's rise is immaculate, really. And also startling.
Yeah.
Like, he was 14 when he went in goal. And then Ringmahon, they realised he was that good that quickly. He was like, throw that clause in just in case. And here we are now.
Like, the transfer fees are nearly irrelevant in the context of, like, we'll forego a transfer fee, just give us, you know, 7% of future sales or whatever.
I mean, the jealousy around Cork now will be unbelievable. Unbelievable. With anyone wearing a Ringmahon tracksuit, the shit they're going to get off this.
Well, that'd be enough to, like, start to, you know, the club could become a full League of Ireland.
Yeah, 100%. It depends what they do. And when you win the lottery, what do you do with the money? Like, that's going to be the big question for Ringmahon Rangers. But I'd like to debate the actual merits of the move itself, and maybe we'll get to that a little bit later. But right now, it is 7:45 a.m. on Off the Ball Records. Dermot Keenan, having Adrian step in for Gerrard is like Mbappe with Mo Salah.
Oh, thank you.
You think that's a compliment?
Absolutely. I'm not saying it was intended as a compliment, but on all evidence there, Bill, I think you'd have to accept.
Kevin Parker, a man after my own heart. Any chance we'll see Conor Lynon or Jenny Claffey in the house with some Roland Garros chat this week? Yeah, hopefully later on this week. Roland Garros looking good, Adrian.
Yeah.
All the big seeds, a lot of the big seeds are still in it. So you have Djokovic, Sinner, Alcaraz, Zverev. Djokovic's actually playing Zverev in the quarterfinals. They're all set.
Yeah.
We lost Jasmine Paolini over the weekend. She got to the final of the French Open and Wimbledon last year. And we lost Jess Pegula, who herself won the Australian Open earlier. No, she didn't. Actually got to the US Open final last year. She's also out. That's third and fourth seed. But Sabalenka and Świątek are still in it. So Roland Garros is heating up nicely as we start week two.
A little bit of a fair bit of controversy about the women's games not being given primetime slots.
And unbelievable.
Amélie Mauresmo being the one.
Amélie Mauresmo, you would
director.
Think, like, a legend of the women's game. It's unreal. Like, this happened year after year. And look, we'll get into this later in the week properly, but basically, they prioritise men in the night sessions, these matches. Their justification is because it's best of five instead of best of three that they get
That's more bollocks, bang for their buck. Like, it's so disheartening to hear it coming from Amélie Mauresmo, of all people.
And that's why that game, that part of the game of tennis is so disheartened, because look who's actually leading it.
Yeah.
So if Amélie Mauresmo doesn't do it for us,
she's excuse-making around it.
Yeah, they're lucky. She's looking at the commercial value and she sees that people will stay longer because they have more bang for the buck. I mean, it's still bizarre to me that, like, one section of the draw plays best of five and the other best of three. That itself is mad. Mm. That itself is antiquated.
But as much as it is, that's what it is.
Oh, totally.
So
don't
undersell it.
Yeah, but they won't. They'll never say that. You see, they'll never come out and say that, because then that devalues the women's game and the prize money that they earn, because they're basically saying, well, the men have to work harder.
Mm.
That's nonsense. I was going to use another word. Unbelievable. Anyway, 7:47 a.m. It's time for the performance rankings.
The good?
Is it a step too far to say it was the performance so far of the World Cup? Maybe not.
The bad?
I'm just scratching my head. The performances was just lacked that intensity.
And the amber?
Off the Ball's performance rankings.
Hope to be breakfast with UPMC Orthopaedic Care, where things don't move, rotate, or bend like they used to. Choose us to help you get back in action. Arthur, help us get back in action in the weekend. Performance rankings.
Where are we starting here?
Where do you want to start? So we've loads here. We've actually a stacked list. We can start anywhere you like here, Arthur. Take your pick from the following: Munster, Leinster, the Irish women's team.
There. We started there. We're starting with Munster.
Oh, the wink.
So, I mean, I don't think anyone wants to hear from me from this.
I think that's what people want to hear from themselves. You start. You're leading it. What
you were animated. Adrian was animated pre-show about this. He's disgusted.
It's not really the wink is the thing. Like, it's been all the sort of reportage that I've been knee-deep in over the last few days has centered around this idea that it's about the wink. And, like, the wink was really just confirmation that he was taking the piss, right? But it wasn't actually the act of taking the piss. I have so many questions around this thing. I went into it a little bit on Sunday's Off the Ball, but I have so many questions around it. So in terms of the order of the kicks, people are familiar exactly what happened at this stage, right? But you get six penalties when it goes to post-extra time. You get to nominate three players to take those six penalties, and each one takes either from the left-hand side, the middle, or the right-hand side. Albeit that Rory Scannell is a left-footed kicker, so taking it from the right-hand side makes sense. He's also just not somebody who takes penalties at all in games. Totally inexperienced. And, like, evidence that he, you know, listen, can easily happen, given that he doesn't take them. But he missed, obviously, the first one. Why is Jack Crowley taking the easiest of the penalties as a starting point? That makes no sense to me at all. Put your perceived worst kicker of the three in front of goal and have at it. Okay, it's going to be a right-footed kicker taken from the right-hand side of the post, but he's an international test kicker. Let him at it. Doesn't make any sense to me.
I tell you what, a lot of that kicking competition didn't make sense, because Rory Scannell nails the much harder kick after that, way further back. Jack Crowley seems to be totally unaffected by Jaden Hendricks at wing. Like, he said to the ref, I'll take it here if you want. No problem doing that. So, and then also, in terms of, like, the team of out-of-character, high-profile rugby personalities in the country, saw a different version of Leo Cullen there in the press conference. Never seen Jack Crowley react like that.
No, but I think he was right.
Do you think so?
Yeah. Like, so after he takes, again, people are very familiar, but after he takes the first, as he goes to take the first kick, Hendricks is coming out and he's giving it the big one. All the guff in the world. Like, you can't hear what's been said, but it's very obvious this is not a best of luck with that. There's a fair bit of back and forth between the two of them, and Crowley reacts to it. And the referee, you think you could overhear him on the mic saying something along the lines of, if you keep doing that, you won't be taking a second one to Hendrickse, as in cut the guff. But, like, he's smiling as he comes back to Crowley. He should not be facilitating any of that. The referee should be in there going, enough, keep talking. And I don't know what action he could take, a yellow card, whatever it is, you'll forfeit the second penalty. Like, he could have cut that out immediately. And I hate being critical of referees, it's an impossible job, etc., etc. But it was bad officiating, as far as I'm concerned. And I think Crowley was dead right to stand his ground on it. Obviously, steps up, knocks the easy one. But what Hendricks had done was said, this is me now, right? I'm coming for you here. Shithousery has begun, and it ain't ending when I come back again. So inevitably, he comes back in, takes a second penalty, and goes down like something out of Monty Python. He's been you know, taken out by somebody in Rose Ed. And, you know, we've seen Razzie's, I don't know if you've seen this, but Razzie Erasmus has tweeted a picture of the evident cramp.
Yeah.
Right? But again, whole pile of questions around this. So he goes down right next to the kick to where Crowley is going to take a second kick. And Crowley says, fine by me, I'm going to go ahead and take it here. Why does the referee stop him?
Protocol, isn't it?
There's probably rules on it, isn't there? Just
But like, the
medical team are, they're too close to the kicker in action. There's probably a minimum distance
required. But if the kicker is saying, fine by me.
I don't think, sure. But in if you go by that logic, then a player could dictate everything.
Well, the player had dictated everything. Hendrickson.
He didn't, though. Like, he went down. So, from a Munster perspective, I was watching this, right? I was as livid as Jack Crowley.
Mm.
And I couldn't have loved him more in that moment when he was shouting.
Mm.
And then when the dust settled a bit, I was like, oh, there is a world where the guy actually did have cramp. And we saw that Erasmus picture where he zooms in and it was like, oh, the guy actually fell down. Now, did he kick again after?
That was his last kick.
That was his last kick.
He did run on afterwards, to
celebrate. So I give him the benefit of the doubt. However, when he went down, I'm sure he said to them, just leave me here, Grant.
Listen, the wink was confirmation of that.
Which is where... Now, the wink could be some game here, isn't it?
Ah, come on now. I can't believe you're being so generous here.
Some game here.
So I think that the referee should have, in my view, he should have allowed... If Crowley was saying, I'm fine, I'm going to take it, he should have let him do that. Now, he...
But that would have been a mad sight. If you take away the emotion from it, which is really difficult to do, but you have to in this regard, and that's what the ref was trying to do, it would have been crazy to see Crowley take that kick with a medical team starting a player right beside him. It would have been mad.
Yeah, but Hendrickson was trying to game him.
But even do you think
he succeeded because Crowley nailed the kick?
So he didn't nail
so
it.
So what
he
was
hit
achieved?
An awful banana. I was sure it was going wide until
he bananaed the first kick under the post.
Yeah.
It was two weird techniques.
In my view, he should have let him take the kick. I think it was so obvious that Hendrickson was gaming him. Let him take the kick. If he's saying, I'm okay, like, it's not as if there's any play going to go over Hendricks or there's any impact on him whatsoever. He can continue to get... He's obviously in an awfully bad way, right? You nearly needed oxygen, okay, to come in and relieve the poor man from his pain.
I don't think you're being...
And then you have the backroom. You have not only the medical staff, you have somebody from the backroom staff coming in and getting involved.
Yeah, yeah, and there's a bit of back and forth.
Question I have is, while all this is playing out, and we'll be asking Alan Quinlan when he comes later on, why is Crowley left out there on his own? Why did nobody from the Munster backroom staff or one of the players go out there to either remonstrate with the officials and with the other Sharks backroom staff and try and get something? Why was Crowley left out there to have to bat when he was the one taking
I'm going to say the P word again. It must be protocol. You must not be allowed to go out.
Forgive my French, but screw protocol. Like,
absolutely, but
this is
who
not
was
protocol.
On the pitch for the Sharks?
This bullshit here is not
Who was
protocol.
On the pitch for the other team?
The medics and one of the backroom staff.
Who probably what came on with water.
I there's a name in my
they
mind.
Had to, they had to have been
I
holding
I don't want
something.
To mention his name in case it wasn't him, but right. I'm pretty sure it was.
That's who Crowley gave the...
Do you remember the guy with the baseball cap?
Yeah. He told him to do it.
So one of the team, senior players, like well-seasoned players could have been out there, not to mention somebody in the backroom staff. Like, what's going to happen? You're going to get red carded. Whatever. Like, so it could have been out to remonstrate. And I'd go a step further. Could have gone out... Your man, right, even if he had cramp, this is not a serious medical situation. Somebody should have gone out, grabbed him by the shoulders and dragged him 20 feet away and said, there you are now, get your treatment. What would have happened? Would Hendricks have got up and walked back into the spot where he was?
I'd like to have thought, at least looking back on it, that the ref said just that. He said, you're going to have to move him, lads. And then one of them, or Hendricks himself, said, I can't move, I'm in bits. Right, and then the medical team, that's when they could have gamed them because we're the medical team, you can't question us, we can't move him, it'll damage him further.
I would say if Peter O'Mahony, right, had gone out there and grabbed him by the shoulders and dragged him away, the referee would have gone, thanks mate.
No, if he had done that, the ref would have definitely penalised O'Mahony. He's not a monster, the ref's not a monster fan.
But the referee, obviously, on some level, found all of this distasteful too. Right?
I think the ref froze a bit. I think he was quite weak in the situation.
But that's why
I think
that
he stood there.
O'Malley
like,
could have done his bidding for him.
And that's why Crowley got so irate, I think, because Crowley was like, Crowley's shoulder, I'll take it. And the ref was in a position where it's like, I got to move these people, but they're not going to move. So what am I going to do now? What can you do in that situation? Am I going to book him? Am I going to send them off? He's just hit his last kick.
Hendrickson.
Yeah. What am I going to do? Am I going to book the medical team? Send them off? What can I do?
He could have given clear instruction.
I think he did, and they said, we're not moving him.
Have you seen what Jack Nienhammer said on it?
Yeah.
Go on.
well, broadly, I think it's something that happens in the game from minute 1 to minute 80. There's banter and trying to get under a guy's skin and trying to physically impose yourself on him and try and rub his hair. I mean, that happens for 80 minutes. So in this case, it was for everyone to see because it's not as secluded as what would be in a game. But it happens in a game. Think of Peter O'Mahony. What did he tell Sam Kane? I mean, that banter flies. If you listen to just the referee mic and you take the commentators away, it's crazy what you hear on that mic. They just got stuck into each other. It's just normal.
Yeah, and he was saying about like Ireland being the masters of a bit of pick. I totally disagree with that, I have to say.
Why?
So strongly disagree with it because this is not within the game, right? This is not a bit of head rubbing after a scrum or a bit of a jibe here or there. This is, it's shithousery and I don't like it.
What if it had been roles reversed? Would you be condemning?
I like to think that I...
Munster would be above that.
No, I'm not suggesting that at all, or any Irish province or any Irish player. But I like to think I'd have the same position on it. I didn't like it. The wink, it's been all about the wink. And that's actually not the story as far as I'm concerned. The wink was only confirmation that, you know, Razzie posting the picture of your man with the cramp, like, piss off. Come on. It wasn't as if he'd just broken his leg and he needed to get like some sort of... He was fine. Even if it was cramp, he's going to be grand. 2 full minutes, he's getting treatment for.
Is it not like a degree of showmanship that's ultimately good? You know, in the same half an hour, we're talking about 12,000 people going to a knockout game in Dublin for this all-conquering Leinster side.
I think there's no relation to those things whatsoever.
Well, I mean, we're talking about it on the kind of, you know, it has amped it up and it will kind of resonate with that. Whereas, well, I don't know if there's anything we're going to be saying about the Leinster game. Bar the low attendance.
I think, Leinster were very poor. I think you could talk about that for a while. But I think that it's definitely ramped up the rivalry now between the two of them. Razzie getting involved. The Sharks Twitter account reshares the Razzie post. Like, they're coming out with the chest out going,
absolutely.
Not to see here. So it does ramp up the Ireland-South Africa stuff, of course. No question, no doubt about that. And,
you will.
You know... And hopefully Sharks get through, right, to the final, and hopefully Leinster gets through to the final, and we'll do them for you tomorrow. What was it? What was the thing? We'll do them for you tomorrow, lads.
Could you see Prendergast winking?
Listen, I don't know. Maybe it's in every player, but it just felt this was an extra layer of shithousery. And there's no, like, rugby's better than anybody else argument here. It's just, I just didn't like it. The context was the three aspects, the guff for the first penalty. That was out of order. Did not enjoy that. Clearly, he did not need to be lying next to the ball to get treated for cramp. And then the wink being confirmation of the whole thing. And the Sharks did not cover themselves in glory with the backroom staff being out there in the middle of the whole thing as well, because they were ultimately facilitating it. One of their people could have gone over. Like, Munster are a classy club, right? I think if that had happened to a Munster player, they're doing whatever they can to get him out of there.
I don't know.
You don't think?
I
can't see them staying there for 2 minutes to treat cramp.
I mean, I don't know. I think it's any kind of any inch you can kind of take.
I agree with Sage. I don't think that Munster would take that road. I don't think they would. No. But who knows? We're never going to.
Well, we do. You are. Neen Aber does cite a Munster player.
Well, Peter O'Mahony and Sam Kane. You're just a shit Richie McCaw.
Yeah.
Like, but
what's that designed to do if not get under someone's skin? It's the same purpose.
That backfired in the most spectacular fashion, you know.
That's probably seen as fair game, funnily enough. Yeah.
But I would say within the game...
Sledging.
I'm not saying it's amazing and, like, you know, it would have been better off for Irish rugby if it didn't happen, ultimately, you know.
But listen, why do we have Munster in the performance rankings, I suppose? Because the game itself... was pretty amazing. 24 apiece.
We're running tight on time here.
We are, yeah. But the Calvin Ash try was amazing. That Jack Crowley kick pass Adrian across to the corner. Josh Witcherly's try was a brilliant move by Calvin Ash again himself. And then the Kilgallen try, like the fact that he got that down just in time before the deadline. So there's some brilliant rugby played. And then like the 24-21 down, Conor Murray's kick from distance, I was saying to you pre-show, I was surprised Jack Crowley wasn't taking that on the pitch, but Murray from distance is, Jesus, close to perfect. Like he got that and then some.
Yeah, class. He's the man from distance. That's it. Like, and he's done it for Ireland previously as well. But I think we have to decide what colour
we've got to designate them a colour now.
Yeah, for me, it's full green, right? I just think on the basis that, but on the basis that Well, in regulation play, it was a draw, technically, Arthur.
But the season's over, isn't it?
The season is over, but...
they can't be green. They're not going into the season green.
I think...
The end of the off-season
green. I think that, like, you know, the new coaching team's coming in, they're looking at this performance against, like, a mini South African team, by the way, when you look at the quality that's in that Sharks side. There wasn't a... I can't think there was too many people giving Munster much of a shake of this game. But the way they managed it, and particularly... you know, you had a point. So the waves of attack that were coming at them, even in extra time, to repel all of that and drive it to penalties. Like you had the very end of extra time, our mate Hendrickse, getting the ball, admittedly, reasonably deep inside their own half and wanted to get it off the pitch to take it to penalties. Like the new coaching ticket coming in have an awful lot to be positive about and to build off. And like the glass is very much three quarters full here after this. It's yes, they're out. But yeah, that would have been beyond bonus territory to be in a URC semi-final, and they came within a whisker.
I'm interested in Alan Quinnan's take later, because I think Munster have an awful lot of work to do in the summer to replace what they're losing. We've been accused here, Adrian, of never playing sport, you and I. They haven't seen our CVs, obviously. Yeah. And Pwell 74 saying Munster can give it but can't take it, stop whinging. I actually knew at the time when Jack Curley was responding like that, that this would be the response on Munster. It's like, you're just responding.
Where are we putting them? Are you happy having them in the green?
I'll put them amber.
What are you saying? You knew the response was what?
I knew the response would be Munster, get over yourselves. Just knew it.
Who's saying that?
Pwell 74.
What do we have next there up on the screen?
I think that's harsh, by the way. I'd have Munster in full green. I just want to be
absolutely. What would happen if they'd won?
They'd also be in green. But like,
you need room. You need room to improve. You know, and there's no room to improve there.
Penalties. Do you know what I mean?
Sure, everyone enters into it.
But
from a
performance point of view, you know, the process, Arthur.
If you mix amber and green, what colour do you get? Because that's what Munster should have. They did very well right until the end. The next one there, they've given you a Leinster to work with, Arthur. And it's a very deliberate picture because it's a line-out catch and an empty stadium behind it.
Empty old stadium behind it.
Yeah.
12,000 hearty souls.
Are you putting them in the red now after winning?
I don't know. Like you can decide where you want to put them yourselves.
You give us the
punishment. I find it fascinating from an objective point of view that like it's a strange thing with Irish rugby. That in the hierarchy of things, obviously this is the lowest importance in the season from international down. That's grand. Maybe it's even heightened more in a Lions summer. But I just, it's funny, I find the Leo Cullen thing when he's talking like that, it's like that ship has sailed a long time ago.
What ship?
Of trying to get people excited for these games. It has been clear, it does not feel to me, even as a passive viewer, that Leinster in the URC has been of any consequence for quite some time.
I think it's a lot to do with the opposition, isn't it? Let's face it. Like, you know, I think it is a big factor in the 12,500. Obviously, if it was Leinster, Munster, I don't think it's so much to do with, and like, yeah, absolutely, of two provincial competitions, club competitions, it's second, right? But like, it's all that's left to play for, so it's the only show in town. But I think it's a lot to do with the opposition. Who's getting excited about the Scarlets?
But that, like, that's it. That's
they gave them a game, Adrian.
They did, and I think that's a big reason that I'd have Leinster in the amber.
No, I give them green. Look, it's not the players' fault that no one showed up to watch the game. They got the job done. They scored some nice tries themselves. It was interesting. Gibson Park pretty much ran to the deadline before he put it down. But they were Osborne was good. I thought they played all right. I actually could see the pros and cons of Prendergast in a nutshell in this game, is that like some of his passing is excellent, but they're his blinding weaknesses as well and stuff to work on. I thought Leinster did the job that they had to do. They could have been slightly better, but ultimately they have responded really well from the Northampton game.
Yeah.
But the commentary around them is dismissive, I would say. Not even apathetic.
What do you mean?
Dismissive. I think the commentary around Leinster now, it's like, they didn't do what it mattered. Who cares? Because we've been asking Alan Quinnan this, yeah. And he used the word on Friday, imperative, that Leinster win the URC this season. And I think if they win the URC, lads, regardless of what happens in the next two games, if they do go all the way, I feel that a lot of people will shrug their shoulders, which is slightly unfair in them.
I think in the context of not been all that impressive against, not been that impressive at all since the semi-finals, I think it'll probably become more important as it goes on. I don't know about this imperative stuff. Like, it's been said for the last 2 years now.
That was a Munster man saying it.
I know, but like, Leinster have to win Europe. Or they just have to win it. Like, these...
Is that not why they brought in Barrett and Nina?
I know, but like, if they don't win it, what happens?
Well, it's been
failure. They just go on to, yeah, so fine. It's failure and then they move on to the next season. It's not imperative that they have to win anything. It's just, that's not sports.
It's a lot... For the money that's been pumped into that team and they
should be
the
winning.
The talent that's there.
Yeah.
It's kind of crazy.
They should be winning.
When's the last time they won anything?
They won.
It's not the Champions
Cup. The Champions Cup 2018 was the last one. And have they won the URC since then?
But I don't think it's a part of it. I just think absolutes when it comes to that stuff. Like, the world isn't going to explode if they're not in the URC.
No, but like, we all suspend disbelief coming in here. None of this is necessarily important.
All right, as Vinnie Perth watches on from the production box, let's give out some colours here. Leinster, what are we landed on? I'm going to go green. You're going?
Be amber for me, Bill.
Yeah, amber.
You decide?
Amber. They're not in here for
okay,
the win.
Okay, so Leinster and Munster share a colour. That's nice, isn't it? So what do you want to do next? Loads of GAA here. We'll start with Dublin.
What, Queeveen's up there in
Oscar Queeveen's tied it for us.
Green.
Queeveen Kelleher, green.
Yeah.
Brentford.
Yeah.
I thought he could have got slightly higher up.
He could have done, but equally.
I think he could have hung on for a Spurs. Because like the manager that signed him for Brentford could be the Spurs boss.
Yeah.
I caught Spurs or Chelsea maybe.
Does he go in and do a year, 2 years? And
there
then,
is that. He's still only
26.
I didn't think about this quite heavily over the weekend. It was like, what's this going to look like for Kelleher? The problem with Brentford is you're just another Premier League player then. So you have to be extraordinary to get picked out of a bigger club. That's my worry for him. But at the same time, he's going to have a fine Premier League career. He's already had a brilliant career.
Mm.
And now he's given himself the chance that he deserves.
Two Premier Leagues, Champions League.
Just like, you know, a massive respect to Raymond van der Hauw, not a Raymond van der Hauw medal. Like, this guy was really prominent, especially this season.
Do you remember Shea Given at Newcastle all those years, and like he looked like the greatest keeper that had ever been born, because Newcastle were a team always under pressure, and you could see the odd goal, and
I remember
considered fair enough, I remember
losing like 5-0 home to Liverpool, and he get player of the match, like, because he was just unreal. Mm-hmm. And I don't think that's going to happen to Brentford. They're tight enough. Obviously, Nathan Collins in front of him too, which will be handy for him. But genuinely, he doesn't know who his manager is going to be for sure yet. Don't know what's happening with the Spurs situation. Rumours over the weekend that Daniel Levy's in talks with Thomas Frank. And Brian Aubameyang, as of last night, has reportedly spoken of his desire to join Manchester United. So it might not be as good at Brentford side. They could be struggling. I don't know. But we'll chat with Vinny, who's on standby, as I said. But what colour will give him green? I'll defer to you if you want. I would have said maybe a bit of amber, but we'll give him green.
It's a positive for him. He's going to be a starting keeper.
Ireland women's national team is next. So we spoke there at the very top of the show. They won narrowly on Friday night, very unconvincingly, against Turkey. They were 1-0 down in that game. At least they came back and won. They play Slovenia tonight. For me, this is the ultimate amber. They've been so unconvincing under Carlo Ward, but they are in contention. Like, that Slovenia game is going to kill them. But look, we're on the eve of something potentially magical happening in Irish sport if they get the job done in spectacular fashion against Slovenia in Cork tonight. Win by 4 goals. Then suddenly Ward's a genius.
Yeah, they're on that high wire act at the minute. Like, I mean, obviously they needed an OG and then the assist for the goal at 88 minute was like the greatest. If it was like, if she had a green shirt on her and I headed into the path of the Ireland player, I think you'd have said, wow, what a bit of skill that was. Like, they couldn't, Turkey basically handed Ireland 2 goals.
Yeah.
That'd be the worry. Like, you know, obviously needing 4 tonight. They have scored a whole pile of goals. Georgia, and France. But they also can't stop. I think you said it at the start, they can't stop conceding. That'd be the worry. Amber at best.
Amber?
Yeah.
Happy with that? All right, next up, Paris Saint-Germain record win in a Champions League final. 5-0 against Inter. If by any chance you missed this on Saturday night, Inter's average age is 30. PSG's is 24. That's the biggest difference in the Champions League final as well. And it showed. This is the ultimate green?
Yeah, for them.
The occasion now would be a different story.
The occasion, yeah. But for them, it's a, I suppose it's success.
Never felt right to me, Adrian, Inter wearing yellow. That's the Nike tick vertical.
That's what happened?
They looked all wrong from the start. And it was one of those games genuinely when PSG went 1-0 up. I honestly thought Inter having no hope here.
That's it.
And I was only 1-0. I was like, they don't have enough firepower and they can't defend properly against this PSG side.
No.
It was, you talk about the great boxing fights in history, the chemistry between the fighters. They might not be the two best fighters, but they have great rhythm to them. This is a terrible pairing.
I have a goal in FC 25 that I can get. If I get to the end line, I can cut one back. I'm almost always guaranteed to score. And there was a little bit of that about PSG. Were you looking at it thinking, it's not really, this is not good for a Champions League final? Or were you enjoying the beauty of...
That's a good question. Yeah, I did. I was enjoying it live, PSG, and how great they were. But there's a part of me thinking like, oh God, if Barcelona just capped themselves on an extra time against Inter in the semi-final, this could be unbelievable. And maybe that would have been too tit for tat and it would have been all over the shop. But look, it's rare that you get to see a really good team play to their potential. It's actually rare throughout the season. And we got to see that on the biggest occasion. So it's very magical from that point of view. But for Inter, like, Bayer Leverkusen in 2002, they were on the cusp of a treble and they lost it all. Inter the same, like, and now their manager might be leaving as well to go to Al Hilal. It's mad how much that's changed in a month. Month ago, Inter were on, like, you loved Inter in this Champions League in your favourite competition in the quarterfinals against Bayern, the semi-finals against Barcelona. You loved this side.
Yeah. No, it was a... It wasn't. It was unfortunately a complete mismatch. At least PSG had the good grace to score a lot of goals, so it kind of made it entertaining.
Yeah.
Because there was every chance that could have been. I remember, I can't remember a match, but I, you know, the 2-0, the 2010, when Inter bet Bayern.
Yeah, Diogo Melito brace.
And I remember that game feeling like a foregone conclusion, but it had none of the pushing on. Mm. So at least you got some goals.
Mm. Was it Bradley Barcola tried to score an Astro goal when he put a Serbian on his ass and then went near post just for the crack and put it wide? Mm. But it was a bit unfair teams, let's mix this up vibe at the end. And Lautaro Martinez again, like, from such a talented player, not really to show up in the biggest occasion. I was massively disappointed from Inter.
The PSG team cost, I think, well over double what the Inter team cost.
But it's like a perfect team. That midfield three is just sensational. Their fullback's ridiculous, and not to mention the front three.
So the fact that it's only the second French team ever.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was I had to get onto Wikipedia for that, and I was like, surely not. Something. Marseille 1993, Fabien Barthez, Didier Deschamps.
Yeah.
Papin, was he there?
Don't think Papin Jean-Pierre was there.
Papin. Chris Waddle was gone at that stage, wasn't he?
Desailly.
Oh,
yeah.
And they were done for match fixing.
They were. They got to a final a couple of years earlier, too, didn't they? In last
91, yeah.
That was the one that Waddle did play in, yeah.
They were done. Yeah. They wanted
had their title taken off them, but not the Champions
League. They had 640 grand at the bank to pay teams off. It was like, you know, the line by line.
That's the interest in that thing.
And they basically paid off, you know, a couple of weeks before the European Cup final, they paid off a couple of teams to give them an easy ride.
The PSG only established in 1970. There's an old fella in the trophy celebration who grabbed the trophy and was celebrating wildly. He was like, this guy predates the club. He was going mad. But fair play to PSG and undoubted green. We've no red so far, but we might have one here returning to GA. Dublin Footballers, Arthur. This has to be red. I mean, come on. Come on. 18 wides.
Billy's
shaking his head in the production box.
Performance-wise, you'd be putting it red, but it's hard to know what...
colour to give him.
Red suggests they're gone. Like, it doesn't...
But it's only that. The performance ranking is based on the weekend just gone. It's not like the overall synopsis of the season.
Are they not gone?
I don't think they're gone. Mm. I don't think they're gone. So they'll play... Derry now, and if they win, they're through. Probably they'll be through second,
I don't
more
mean
or less.
Literally gone, but I mean, like, that's their chances. Surely,
again,
like.
If they hadn't managed, maybe it's a case of if they couldn't do it there in those circumstances in Croke Park on a pretty balmy day, you think maybe they're not going to be able to do this come whatever if they are in a quarter final or whatever else. But I just think without Con O'Callaghan, they comfortably outshot.
Yeah,
what I would consider to be the best team in the country.
That is a positive spin, so, but it's also true. Like, you are right. They had a lot of shots.
I just think they fashioned a lot of chances.
Yeah.
And it's not like they were just all pot shots from things. Like, there was a lot of mad wides. So, can you fix that? I don't know. Like, I still think they lost by about 5 points in the end, wasn't it?
Six, I think.
Okay.
24-19.
So that was a nothing. That's five. That's... 24-19.
What did I say? Sorry. 24-19. You're right. I'm mildly distracted by breaking news here, but keep going.
I suppose red. By their own standards, you'd probably be red. But it's I wouldn't be losing hope in them. I think if Conn comes back in, game changes.
I listened to our manager, Desi Farrell, afterwards saying that it was a shocking performance. Paddy Andrews said the same thing on the football pod yesterday. I think for the performance itself, Adrian, this is a red all day.
I think so too. Like, I think
Red's lonely,
saying right? that they missed a load of chances, while it's true, glosses over the fact that Armagh were just the better team. And I'm asking about them being gone, it feels like Armagh are a very serious team, and it feels like they're operating on a different...
Yeah.
No, they are. Like, they had to come to Croke Park and win to know that they'd go through, and did it. And they were really impressive. And their scores, obviously they weren't, but it looked like they came easy to them. Their systems, they're such a good team to watch. They're so clinical. But now at the same time, if you're saying you're back in a semi-final or whatever way it works out and it's approaching full house there and Dublin have Conn back, are you asking me if Dublin can't beat Armagh? Don't think so.
Yeah.
You think they can?
Absolutely.
Dublin the red. My renowned leaving cert, Matt's acumen, let me down there because I was attracted by this news from Fabrizio Romano this morning that Bruno Fernandes
has rejected Al Hilal's advances, set to stay at Manchester United. We'll get more on that with Vinny in a second. Mayo footballers.
He's rejected a 100 million move, but that might not be the end of it, I'm assuming. Possibly go there. 120 million, you say?
Yeah, maybe.
The money was already obscene. How much more does he want?
Let's just say they moved me.
Give us Mayo there.
Mayo, back in the green. Massive win. Mm. Written off after a blip last weekend against Cavan. Come back big time, go up to Tyrone. And I don't know what the hell was wrong with Tyrone. 4 points at half time. It was very old school kind of score. It looked to it 1-9 to 4 points at half time at home. And they could just never really make back up the gap. And Mayo weren't perfect. I still don't think Mayo will be going anywhere particularly fast deep into the year. But it's set up now, the group of all groups. So you have Donegal, Cavan, Mayo, Tyrone, all on 2 points. Mm. Yeah, maybe the Cavan thing proves fatal to them, but it's still a case that if they know it's in their hands, that if they can beat Donegal at a neutral venue, they're through. So you're going to realistically have probably Mayo gone, but not by any means certain. But it'll be Mayo or Cavan probably gone, I suppose.
If they beat Donegal,
yeah,
and Tyrone beat Cavan,
yeah.
So that doesn't feel like a crazy stretch.
Tyrone beating Cavan probably should do, yeah. They probably will.
Then that would be Cavan out.
Yeah, yeah. Because Cavan and Donegal have the head.
But if both Cavan and Mayo get beaten, which I think is the most likely outcome,
I think Mayo,
outcome,
yeah, Mayo,
then Mayo
out,
are
yeah,
gone.
Yeah.
Our Cavan producer in the boxer nodding with sad agreement.
But it's... it's great. They'll be regretful that they messed it up at home at Cavan. That was a disgrace to them. But it's
what I would say is Mayo.
His vantage point.
You know, Cavan lost the weekend by 19 points or something to Donegal. They went through them for a shortcut. It's not Mayo. No, after based on what they did at the weekend, Mayo. No, they should have beaten Cavan at home. No two ways about it. But they didn't, so this is kind of their fate.
It's imperative that Mayo win the All-Ireland, is what I say. Absolutely imperative.
Is it, yeah?
Nothing short of that is...
I mean, Mayo are...
The Leinster of Gaelic football.
Listen.
Mayo are the equivalent of Connacht here in this thing at the minute.
Derry Galway was sensational.
Derry Galway was fantastic.
Unbelievable. I mean, this is an undoubted green, isn't it, for the game
Gaelic
itself?
Football.
Could be match of the championship.
Gaelic football's back. It's unbelievable. Better than ever.
A question here. Why did Derry not go for the two-pointer at the end to kill
them? I don't know. See, I think...
That's very clutch.
Did you see his teammates? They were like, oh, okay, fair enough. Well, now, he was a good... I'd say he needed to go 20 yards back to take it.
It
would have been... If he had missed it, it would have been one of the great... But that's what sport's about. He would have... Because it was like Cormac Costello, hit a proverbial brick wall at the 40-metre arc and went left to take a two-pointer that he actually nailed against Armagh. This would have been outrageous. But it would have been a brilliant use of the new rules to win a game. Because he would have been better off trying to go for goal, if anything, because he was closer to goal than he was the 40-metre arc.
Yeah. I just thought, you get a kick to kill them.
You'd want some nerve,
You wouldn't have been surprised to see them take it on, though. I mean, I actually don't know what the percentages. I'd be interested to know what the percentages of two-pointers taken have been scored, but it doesn't feel like they're not Hail Marys,
What, the two-pointers?
They're not.
We saw a lot of Hail Marys over the weekend, particularly from Dublin and Galway. Paratroyce is lamenting his own players, too. Was the word used.
If they didn't score, they're on 0 points after two games.
I like your thinking, though.
But it was to kill Galway,
That's an awful lot to think about for one player.
Galway would be out of the All-Ireland, if you miss...
Well, I wonder, did the word come in? Is that how these things work?
I don't know. I don't think he had that much time to space, did he?
Yeah, I don't know. So that's very much what anyone conscious of time. That's in the green, anyway.
And finally, here we have a League of Ireland, actually, with Damien Duff and Shells, who went down to Cork City and got a well-earned point in Turner's Cross. Duffer wasn't happy afterwards. We'll get into his quotes with Vinny after the break, but what colour are we giving Duff here?
I'd go amber. Shelburne season.
He doesn't want his break. Age.
Amber
he's not
is the
terribly well.
Territory.
Usually we struggle for an amber, but we're,
I don't know. I thought some of his comments were a bit ill-advised.
Yeah, we'll start on the comments with Vinny after this, but that's your lot. That's this week's performance rankings.
Off the Balls performance rankings.
Off the Ball Breakfast.
With UPMC Orthopaedic Care. When things don't move, rotate or bend like they used to, choose us to help you get back in action.
football on off the ball.
So that's also not healthy. It's great for the Premier League, but it's probably bad for the rest of the world.
Join in the obsession. Subscribe now at offtheball.com/join.